Message in that beautiful song. Praise God. We need His Spirit. We need the moving of the Holy Ghost tonight. I would like to say a special thank you to Sister Linda, Sister Ginger, and Brother Junior. We appreciate them so very much for opening up their home and making us feel so welcome, and they're just like family to us, and we feel just so blessed to be there with them, and we thank them so very much for their hospitality and their kindness to us, all of God's people. We appreciate you. Amen. Appreciate your friendship. We certainly need one another, don't we? We need the people of God. One old song said, make friends of God's children. Help those who are in need. And we need one another. United we stand, divided we fall. We need to work together. Let me encourage you tonight in this meeting. I was visiting a church down in South Georgia, as we say. Amen. It's a little bit further south than what we are, so we call it South Georgia, about 4 hours away from where we live. And they experienced back last year one of the greatest revivals, I guess, in the history of that church. I don't know how many they had saved, how many experiences, people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being called to preach, and different things. And, you know, I know their evangelist. You know, he's a fine young preacher and a very able minister. We take nothing away from him. We know God uses men. But there was another minister in the church, at that particular church. I went by there just here a couple of weeks ago. And he said one of the outstanding features of that revival was the fact that the people of God were obeying God. They were getting, as we say, getting in. They were just taking their liberty. And he said, you know, just doing things, obeying God. And that's what it takes, isn't it? The Lord gave me a message. I may have preached it here. I don't remember. Probably did. But God, Lord gave me a message, and it seemed like I heard somebody mention that in this meeting this week. I mean, it may have not been in relation to the message I preached. But nevertheless, God gave me a message. God says, I will you? God, of course, I took my text and probably, like I said, may have preached it here, probably did, but where the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit. I will on the day of Pentecost. That's what Peter stood up and quoted, that verse of Scripture. I will. God expressed his willingness, his desire to pour out his spirit. And in the last chapter of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, he said, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. And I made mention, I believe last night, concerning the will of man. That's something that God respects so highly, so greatly, is the fact that we have a will. We have the ability to choose. That's the difference in mankind and all of God's other creation. We are the crowning of God's creation. When he created man, he made him a little lower than the angels. But the Bible said he crowned him with glory and with honor. We've got the ability to choose. He didn't automate us. He didn't make robots out of us. We just automatically do what God wants us to do. No, we can either say yes or say no. Even we can choose to do his will or refuse to do his will. And I'd like to hear the voice of God. One great preacher said that the ability, or rather the power of the Holy Ghost, lays in the ability to be led by the Spirit. Lays in, think about that. The power of the Holy Ghost lays in the ability to be led by the Spirit. Now that great prophet of God, he's gone on, he was a holiness prophet that God gave to the holiness movement. I never met the man, talked to him a few times on the phone. Brother L.D. Moore, I don't remember, he died, I think, maybe either this year or back last year, one or the other. But just recently, Brother L.D. Moore died. And I quote Brother Moore, he said, why don't you take a chance on what you thought the Lord told you to do? Amen. Praise God. That'd help us sometime. We get so in our ruts and our little routine, and we're afraid to obey God. We're afraid. Amen. But sometime I just feel I get a little adventurous. Amen. And I want to take a chance on what God told me to do. Amen. There's some things I certainly wouldn't do. Amen. I'd have to know it was God. Amen. But there's some things that'd be perfectly in order. Amen. To just take a chance on them. Well, I want to read a verse tonight again from the great Sermon on the Mount, I mentioned the other night in preaching that this Sermon on the Mount is certainly a masterpiece because it was preached by the Master himself. And I've just been looking at it here of late. I felt like the Lord's led me in that direction. It's a message I've had on my heart and been working on it, and I apologize for getting in here a little bit late tonight. I guess I, you know, just didn't manage my time as well as I should have. But nevertheless, I trust the Lord to help us tonight, trying to gather my thoughts concerning this verse in the 13th verse of the 5th chapter. If you find it, say amen. All right. The words of Christ, he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 5. Did I not say Matthew? I apologize. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Let's try it again. Amen. Well, I heard a bunch of amens. You found the 5th chapter or something. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, thank God for my help meet here tonight. Hey, can you say praise the Lord? Praise Sister Lynn. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We'll try it one more time. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Amen. Well, let Sister Lynn lead us in prayer after that. But we're going to let Brother Christie, you pray with us. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. Well, we just take our thought tonight from the 13th verse, the salt of the earth. That's what we are to be. Amen. That is the church. That is the people of God. Amen. Let me just read you some good thoughts here tonight I thought were so tremendous. The one value of salt is aseptic. Aseptic. Now, we have... You know, we live out in rural areas, and probably many of you do as well. We have what is called a septic tank, and we know what that is. I mean, all that, you know, refuse, human refuse, goes into that septic tank. It's very foul. It's very corrupt. But we've got the letter A in front of this. Salt is aseptic. Amen. That is in the presence of the fact of corruption, it prevents its spread. Salt never changes corruption into incorruption. It has no power to do so, but it prevents its spreading. Amen. We can't change men. Only God does. Only Christ can change the hearts of men. Amen. He goes on to say here, the poor in spirit, the Bible says, Christ said here, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The touch of heaven is upon their life, dominating, thrilling, and impulsing. Ye are the people who have the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The poor in spirit. I mean, that is the characteristics of the people of God. They're poor in spirit. They're the meek. They're the pure in heart. They're the peacemakers. I mean, and then he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." I mean, he just proceeded to describe the characteristics and the nature of the church, the children of God. And now he says, "You're the salt of the earth." Well, in the fact that we're the salt of the earth, we have heaven. in our lives. That's what makes us the salt of the earth. You're the people who have the kingdom of heaven. You're the salt of the earth, the medium through which the heavenly government shall operate in material things. The earth, divorced from heaven, is corrupt. Live in it as heavenly people. Amen. And check the spread of corruption. Amen. We are here on this corrupt, perverse, perverted society. We are here to be a preservative. We are here to influence. We are here to bring healing, even in a moral and spiritual corrupt society. Even several characteristics of salt that I'd like to bring to our attention tonight. First of all, salt preserves. Even salt is a preservative. Now, we don't deal with that so much, you know, as far as natural things are concerned anymore. You know, the old-timers did, and some in other parts of the world do even as yet. Of course, we've got our freezers and refrigerators, and we've got preservatives in food and so on and so forth. And one fellow said one time, said, well, I'll just eat a box of Twinkies, and, you know, it's got so many preservatives in it, I'll probably live a little bit longer. Amen. You know, all those preservatives it's got in it, it's going to help me. It's going to preserve me. Well, I don't think it works exactly like that. We've got our freezers and deep freezes, and we have preservatives in our food, but in days of old and in other parts of the world, they didn't have that. They used salt as a preservative. They would salt down their meats and their vegetables and so on and so forth. And they'd hang that old hog up in the, you know, the outhouse or wherever it was and salt it down. Amen. That's probably not the correct terminology, but that outbuilding maybe. Would that be more correct? Amen. But it's a preservative. Amen. Well, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, don't it? Amen. Stay with me. Help me preach tonight. You know I need your help. All right. Would you stay with me? We make a correction there. Not the outhouse, but maybe the outbuilding. Amen. I know that was maybe used for a different purpose, but anyway, praise God. We are here on this earth. We are to bring a preservative in the midst of the moral and spiritual corruption and decay that is all around us. Isn't that right? You are to preserve it from complete corruption and from total decay. Only the restraining influence of the presence of God in a person's life can counteract the downward drift, amen, of moral and spiritual corruption. It is the presence of God. It is the Spirit of the living God in the life of the believer, amen, that brings this preservative in the midst of all of the corruption and the perversion and the filth and the pollution that you and I are a part of. I mean, just look at the abortions and just look at the condoning now, even our president coming out in a very bold way and letting it be known that he condones and puts his approval upon that God Almighty calls an abomination. Same-sex marriage. Well, we're here. The Bible tells us that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. A great preacher, he brought to my attention at least. He said the same term used there being turned into hell. He said it's the same term that was used describing Saul, the first king of Israel, that he was turned into another man. Amen. And the great preacher said that our nation has been turned into hell.
I mean, just look at the condition that she's in. It's unsafe on the streets. Amen. Even our schools, amen, they've got to have policemen on every hall to make it safe. It's not safe to go out at night. You better lock your car. Amen. You better lock your doors. Amen. We're living in a society, amen, that's been turned into hell, if you will. I mean, our streets are hell. Amen. The White House is hell. I mean, it's been turned into something that God is not pleased with. Amen. I know it will literally be turned into that awful place of damnation. But you understand where I'm coming from tonight. It's been turned into that that is totally displeasing. Amen. And it is certainly contrary to the word and the will of God. But we are here to be the salt of the earth. Amen. We're here to be a preservative in the midst of the moral and spiritual corruption. You remember the words that the Lord spoke to Abraham as Abraham pled before God for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He started out and said, if you can find 50, and brought it right down. He said, Lord, amen, if you can find but 10. And the Lord said, yes, Abraham, if I can find 10 righteous men in the midst of that perversion, in the midst of that corruption, in the midst of that moral and spiritual darkness, he said, I'll save it. I'll preserve it. I will not destroy it. Can I tell us tonight, church? Oh, may the Holy Ghost challenge our hearts to realize how valuable, amen, God, amen, he's placed a great value upon his people. We're the preservative in this moral and spiritual, amen, corruption. We're here, amen, to bring, amen, healing. We're here to bring an influence for the glory of God. Amen. The Bible still says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's been the righteousness of God's people that has brought blessing and healing, amen, and a holy influence, and has preserved a society, amen, has preserved a people from total annihilation, from total, amen, corruption. It's been the influence, amen, not of the doctrine of Islam, amen, not of the gospel of Buddhism, but it's been the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a gospel of righteousness and holiness that has preserved this wicked, sin, corrupt world and still holding it together. Oh, thank God for the influence tonight. Thank God for the preserving power, amen, the salt to the earth, the people of God, the people that have God's Spirit, that had the life of heaven in their souls to influence a world, amen, that says we will not, amen, live by the laws of heaven's king. That says we will not have this man reign over us. Away with him, away with him. Crucify him, crucify him. I tell you, that's still the attitude of this wicked world that you and I are a part of. But we're here, thank God, to be the salt of the earth. Oh, God, help us. We're here to be the salt of the earth. The cry of the world is change society and you will get better men and women. Oh, the reason they're on dope and the reason they're out there breaking in folks' homes and the reason they're vandalizing and living like a bunch of heathens out of the deep, dark jungle, just it's their environment. If we can just bring in, change their environment. You know, that's the belief of our president. That's his mindset. Even, oh yeah, we just change society. The reason they're angry is, you know, because they're not getting what they deserve. Amen. This entitlement mentality. Amen. Take from the rich and give it to the poor and spread it around. Amen. The reason is because they're deprived. Amen. They don't know who the daddy is. Amen. And the mama don't treat them right. And they're kicked around and bullied around. And that's the reason they act the way they do. Amen. We can just change society. Amen. We'll change men. No, sir. It don't work that way. Amen. That's the answer of the world. Amen. That's that worldly mentality. Amen. That's that educated carnal mind. Amen. Yeah, we can just change society. But the answer of Christ is, no, sir. You change men and women and you'll change society. Hallelujah. It's not a better society. It's better men that we need. Hallelujah. I don't remember who the statesman was, and I maybe can't quote him verbatim, but he saw that where the greatness of America lay. Amen. It was, he said he realized it was in the greatness of the character of her people. Amen. He saw the greatness of America. It was in her pulpits. Amen. That was promoting righteousness and truth and holiness. Amen. I tell you, that's the answer that Christ has. Amen. Not changing society, but changing men. You know, it's wonderful. We got people out there campaigning against abortion, and, you know, they're campaigning against same-sex marriage and all these things. And, you know, they're crying out against pornography and crying out against alcoholism. You know, there's been men, they spent a lot of their time. They preached, you know, I guess Billy Sunday, he cried out against alcoholism. And he cried out against those things. And there have been other men. And I know that has its place. I'm sure it does. Oh, but the great preacher, he said, no Christian lady has ever had an abortion. I mean, A real Christian's not out there drinking alcoholic beverages. Amen. A real child of God, amen, is not going to end up marrying somebody of their own sex. Amen. They're not going to commit adultery. They're not going to steal and kill. Amen. It's not changing society. It's changing men. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to change hearts and lives. Amen. I say again, amen, We are not the ones, amen, that change men. It's Christ that changes men, amen. But we're here to be a preservative, amen. It's Christ. Christ is the answer, amen. We are here to preserve society. We preserve society by standing in defense of God's Word, amen, by godly influence of our lives and by the Spirit of God within us, amen. That's how we preserve this society. Amen. Lord, touch us tonight. Lord, help us tonight. There's a great verse that deals with the end time. I believe it relates so well to us being the salt of the earth. Amen. No, we can't change men's hearts. Only Christ can. But we're here to be that influence for Christ. We are here to be that preservative in the midst of the moral and spiritual decay. Amen. He said, the spirit of iniquity doth already work. He said, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe, Brother Christie, that's the church. I believe that word let there means to hinder. There's something hindering, amen, that man of sin from being revealed. There's something holding back that spirit of Antichrist. I'm telling you, there's a spirit of Antichrist that is swept across this nation, amen, like never before, especially in the last election. I'm not going to go into all of that. But we are here as a preservative to hinder that corruption. I'm telling you, brother, we are fastly coming to a totally demon-possessed world. Oh, the only godly and good and wholesome influence here is the Spirit of God, the very life of God Almighty, and the hearts and lives of His children that are still here upon the earth. Even there's something restraining. Thank God, something holding back. Something holding this thing together. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a praying people. It's a godly people. It's a people that's got the life of heaven, amen, living in them. Amen. Yes, sir. We're here. We're a preservative in the midst of this moral and spiritual corruption. Even another aspect of salt is salt influences. Salt influences. It gives flavor to everything that it touches. You know, we don't know much about this as well. I mean, we live in the day of smorgasbord and buffets. And, man, wasn't that a buffet the other day? I'm telling you. How many items? Hundreds, I guess, or over 100 items. If you leave there hungry, it's your own fault. That's the day we're living in. I mean, just season to taste. I mean, just whatever you want. If that don't suit you, we'll get you something else. If you don't like that, go just lay that aside. Go back and get you something else. But over in those other parts of the world, as Brother Wilson used to call them, depressed countries. Over in those depressed countries, I mean, all they live off of is rice, and more rice. And some of them maybe have a little beans. And I was reading after one writer, and he said he lived over in some part of Africa. And he said, you know, they worked for the government. Him and his parents, they were over there as missionaries, but they somehow were connected to the government. And the government would give the people a weekly ration of salt. That salt was so precious to those people. They would come and hold out their hands. He said he would take that spoon and spoon them out, that weekly ration of salt. Oh, yes, sir. And he talked about how that salt, it would bring flavor and it would influence an otherwise drab diet. I mean, the same thing over and over, but to give it a little flavor, even to influence, even that diet, that old drab, dull, routine diet, even they have the influence of salt. Thank God is God's children. As the people of God, amen, we are here to influence society, to influence the world for Christ. Oh, I know they got their pleasures. I know they got their entertainments. I know they got more money than they know what to do with, a lot of them. Amen. Got pleasures everywhere they look. But yet, the suicide rate's at an all-time high. People hooked on drugs. Amen. Got to have uppers to get them up and downers to calm them down. Nerve pills, sedatives, tranquilizers, on and on. A drugged-up society. Amen. Because they look around and I'm bored. Amen. They look around and nothing to live for. Nothing to hope for. Amen. Nothing to keep going. Amen. To motivate me for. Amen. That's the society. We're here, church. Amen. God wants to challenge our hearts and cause us to realize who we are. We're the salt of the earth. We're here to influence society for the glory of God. To give it flavor. To give it taste. Amen. I read this. Salt is a combination of two chemicals. Sodium and chlorine, but united as one, they form a formidable compound, one essential to life. Amen. One essential to life. We've got to have salt, brother. We've got to have salt. Is very needful. You know, men that have worked in extremely hot conditions, you know, Sister Rose and Sister Ginger and Brother Dwayne, especially here among us, you know, they're in them hot tin cans all day long and all that. You know, they sweat, they perspire, and they've got to intake some salt back into their body. If they don't, amen, they'll die. Amen. It's necessary, that influence of that salt. Even in their body. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I mean, men that would work down in the mines, down the coal mines, and others that work in extremely hot places, they would give them a ration of salt. Even to keep that necessary ingredient in their body. Amen. Well, we are here as an influence. Amen. So our lives, just as salt is a combination of sodium and chlorine, so our lives combined with Christ's life becomes the great force for good in society. Amen. It's not my righteousness within itself. Amen. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We're here to influence this world. If you will, give it taste. Amen. Take away the drabness and the dullness. Oh, they say, man, look at us out here living it up. They got to get hooked on some kind of drug. Amen. They got to have some kind of alcoholic beverage and really think they're living it up. Oh, they're laughing. But it's a very hollow laughter. Amen. They say, oh, we're happy. But it's a happiness. Amen. That's very short-lived, and it's dependent upon their circumstances. But we're here, thank God. We've got the answer, amen, that the world, amen, is in need of. We've got the remedy for what ails them. We're here to influence this world for Christ. Oh, yes, sir. A saner, stronger society can only be built by more sanctified individuals. A stable culture can only be created by the energetic contribution of men in whom Christ is the conditioner of their character. Amen. We are here to influence men. It's Christ, amen, in us, amen, that brings this influence. They're not touched, amen, by our standard. Amen. They're not touched by our peculiarities. Amen. They're not influenced. I mean, they may be to a certain extent, but you know what I mean. Altogether, that doesn't influence them. They may look at them. They're odd. They're peculiar with those long clothes on. Amen. And this, you know, this 95 degree weather. Look at them running around. Here we are with our shorts and, you know, and our tank tops and in our bathing suits on, and man, we're living it up. We're enjoying life. And I tell you, I know that doesn't touch them all together is what I'm saying, but it's Christ in us. It's when they take knowledge of us, there's something different about them. I tell you, they've got a, amen, they've got a radiant glow. There's something about the way they conduct themselves. They're different than the world. Amen. They don't act like the rest of, amen, of those in our world. Work among. Yes, sir, we're here, amen, to be an influence. We're here to bring taste to a tasteless society. It's Christ and the believer bringing into the drab diet of the world that touch of optimism. Yeah, that powerful pungency of hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A world that's lost her hope. Amen. The delectable delight of divine life into our mundane world. We're here to bring an influence. You know, God's not looking for us to all together do something big and showy. That's the thing about salt. You know, the aspect of salt, it loses itself. It's blended in with that drab diet and that tasteless food. It loses itself. It becomes a part of that. So Christ taught us that in losing our life, we'll find life. Amen. We try to save our life, He said, we'll lose it. But it's in losing our life, amen, that we find life. And we save our life by giving it away for the cause of Christ and for others. Amen. We bring an influence. We bring an influence. Oh, yes, sir. You know, I think about those great saints of old. I think about Sister Gail Myers. I don't know if you ever met her up here. She was a wonderful saint of God. Amen. She went down into Mexico. God called her as a missionary to go to Mexico. There was a man at a camp meeting. God confirmed it as he began to speak in other tongues. And as he spoke in the English, or I'm sorry, in the Spanish language. And he quoted that verse, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He quoted that in tongues. I mean, the Spirit, he didn't know the Spanish language. But the Spirit of God spoke through Brother Lorenzo Slaughter, Jr., they told me. And Sister Gail Myers, it confirmed in her heart that she was to go to Mexico. She never married. She never had children, never had a husband. But hundreds of churches were established down in Mexico because she gave her life. Amen. She lost her life, but in losing that life, hundreds of churches and thousands of souls were won to Christ. Many of those Mexican people, they called her Mama Gail. Amen. She was their mother in the Lord. Just like Paul was the father of many in the Lord. Amen. They called her Mama Gail because she influenced her world for Christ. Amen. Well, maybe it won't be. I'm sure perhaps for the most of us it wouldn't be to that extent. Amen. But we can brighten the corner where we are. We can influence the tasteless, dull, lifeless, Christless society around us. Amen. We can influence our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers. We can be salt and light to them. Hallelujah. That they'll taste the very savor, amen, of heaven. Amen. They'll come to taste and see that the Lord is good. And they'll come to trust in Him because of the influence of our lives. Oh, help us tonight, Holy Ghost. It blessed me here a few years ago. I read the testimony of Miss Catherine Booth, part of it that is in the Holiness Messenger. I saved that copy and I got it out here recently and looked at it again. Miss Catherine Booth, she would kneel by the bedside of her children and she would speak these words. She would say, "Darling, you're not in this world for yourself. You've been sent for others." She sought to instill in their hearts that God had a purpose. God wanted to use them to influence others for Christ. That's what we're here for. You're the salt of the earth. We are here to influence. Oh, God, help me. That ought to be the greatest aspiration of any sincere child of God. Oh, that Christ could use me. That Christ could be glorified in the life that I live. I'm not just satisfied just to say, "Well, he's a good old boy, wasn't he?" Amen. No. Amen. He touched somebody for Christ. Amen. Because of the life they lived, it's affected me. It's touched my soul. It's touched my heart. And I want to walk for and live for Christ. I want to walk the pathway of righteousness and holiness because of the life that they lived. Miss Catherine Booth, as she lay a corpse, she went down the ghettos and the gutters of sin, her and General William Booth. They'd won countless thousands to Christ. As she lay a corpse, I read this account in the Holiness Messenger. They said 200,000, not 200, 200,000 mourners passed by her coffin, paying their last respects, many of them calling her Mother. Mother. They so drenched her body with their tears as though it had been dipped in the river, the Thames River. Well, she made an impact. I mean, here stands a man sobbing over a coffin. And the officer said, "Hurry along, sir, hurry along. Can you not see the thousands behind you?" But he says, "Please, sir, let me touch this dear face just one last time. She found me when I was in prison. Amen. And told me of Christ. And she obtained me a pardon. And later presented my petition before the Heavenly Father and obtained me a pardon there also. I'm saved and happy now, sir. Please, amen, let me pay just one last respect to this dear mother." Amen. Here's an older lady standing with her two daughters, and again they're bowing over that coffin, their tears dripping down on that lifeless corpse, kissing the face of that dear mother in Israel. Amen. Again, the officer, "Hurry along, ladies, hurry along. There's thousands behind you." But that dear lady speaks up and says, "Please, sir, this lady found us when we were out making merchandise of our bodies, but we're saved and happy now." Amen. She taught us our bodies were to be the temples of the Holy Ghost. We're saved and happy now. Please let us kiss this dear face just one last time. I'm telling you, church, we're here. There'll be an influence for Christ. You're the salt of the earth.
One more aspect of salt. Salt heals. Salt heals. Salt is necessary for health. I mentioned that. It's an essential ingredient for the proper body metabolism. The normal exchange and retention of fluids within the cells depends upon salt. The salt present. We lose too much salt, we'll die. We'll die. Amen. But it was very necessary. Necessary for health. Oh, I'm telling you, the thing that's holding this corrupt moral and spiritual corrupt society together is the salt of the earth. The presence of the living God. Amen. In the saints, in the church, we're the salt of the earth. Amen. The salt also brings healing. Not only health, but healing. You know, Jesus came and he said, as he opened up and began to read when he started his earthly ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he went on to say, he's anointed me to preach, amen, the gospel to the poor, bring deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to preach deliverance, oh, and to bring healing, to heal those that are oppressed. Oh, but also read where he commissioned his disciples and he gave them power, amen, against unclean spirits, and he sent them out and he told them to heal the sick, cast out devils, amen, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely give. Oh, you say, I'm not Oral Roberts, I'm not Jack Cole, amen, I'm not William Branham. No, sir, I understand that, but we're here, amen, to bring our healing, amen, to the broken hearts and lives of men and women. I say again, we've got the answer, amen, we've got the remedy. We're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. Amen. Oh, I tell you, you pour salt in an open wound, it stings. It hurts. That's why some folks don't feel too comfortable around the saints of God. They don't feel too comfortable. Why? It's because of the presence of God in your life. Amen. It's the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. It brings conviction. It brings conviction. That's what Jesus said the Holy Ghost would do. And the Spirit of the living God in the body of Christ. Amen. It brings a sting to the open wound of sin. Amen. To that sin-festered, sin-corrupted, amen, heart and lives of men and women. Amen. That's why some of them don't feel too comfortable in our presence. But I'd like to bring a healing, wouldn't you? I'd like to bring a healing influence. I'd just like to be what God would have me to be. You are the salt of the earth. Our potency in bringing healing to our society is our Christ-centeredness. It is not us that heals, but it's Christ in us. Amen. Christ in us. Yes, sir. That influence of the life of Christ in the believer. Amen. Again, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We've got heaven in us. We've got the very life of heaven. Amen. Resident. Amen. In our mortal body. Amen. Our bodies as a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're here. Amen. With heaven in our soul to bring heaven to a world that's divorced from the Spirit of heaven. Divorced from the life of God. God. Amen. We're here to bring healing in the midst, amen, of a hurting, helpless, amen, decaying society. God help us. God help us to be what you'd have us to be. Amen. Salt heals. I read an account where in World War II there was a ship, I believe the Athena was the name of the ship. I don't remember the man's name. But all the passengers, that ship was enabled, and they had to take the passengers, save many of the passengers, and many of them had wounds and they had bruises, and they ran out of medical supplies very quick. But the man, the commanding officer, the man in charge on that rescue ship, he would have them to bring up salt water, and he would just pour salt water on those that had been wounded. They had been hurt. They had been bruised. And it healed. It brought a healing. Of course, we know in the natural,
Salt, you know, you got a sore throat. Nothing any better than warm, salty water for that sore throat. A lot of things. Even in many parts of the world, they don't have modern medicine. Now, all they got's that old, well-known remedy of salt. And salt is a healing. Amen. Salt, you know, people with bad feet soak their feet in that warm or hot salty water. Amen. Yeah, and it preserved those men. It healed those men. Many of the wounds and the bruises and the sores that they had. Just that salt water. We are here. I've repeated it. I know I've been very repetitious tonight. But in this moral and spiritual corruption, we are the thing that's holding it, keeping it from completely corrupting and decaying. It's the presence of God in the body of Christ and the salt of the earth, the very people of God here, amen, to bring up healing in the midst of this moral and spiritual corruption. Oh, God help us. We're fastly, I say again, coming to a totally demon-possessed world. Thank God for the godly influence of God's people. Amen. The influence of somebody with gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. I mean, all those holy, heavenly characteristics. Last of all, Jesus warned us in this verse of Scripture tonight. He said, but if the salt have lost its savor, it's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. That word savor just simply means taste. Salt loses its taste. It loses the ability to influence. Amen. To bring taste to a drab, dull, Christless society. Amen. When a person ceases to really be the person he's claiming to be, then he's good for nothing. That's what Christ was saying. I mean, we are living in a world of pretense, a world of deception, of make-believe, of put-on. It's personality. It's charisma. Oh, no. It's not what you are. It's what you appear to be. Amen. That's what the world's interested in, but that's not what Christ is interested in. He's interested in not what we pretend to be, not what we act like we are, but what we really are. Amen. That's the emphasis of this great Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Is what we are. Amen. And you know, he went on. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. I believe he gives us some light. He said some light on those that lose their savor on over in this great Sermon on the Mount. You find toward the end of it there in the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Amen. It's more than just professing. He said it's possessing. Amen. It's more than just what we claim to be. It's what we are. There's a lot of them that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Amen. But he's talking about us being what God would have us to be. Amen. Oh, God. What did he say? He went on in that 7th chapter toward the end of this great Sermon on the Mount. In verse 22, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Another place he said, depart from me, I know you not. Amen. Yeah, you're claiming to be something that you're not really living up to. You know, and he talked about in the book of Revelation. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. I believe that's the same thought he has here. When the salt loses its savor, amen, when it ceases to be what God intends for it to be, amen, when it loses its savor, the life of Christ is gone out of it. The Spirit of God is departed from it. Amen. The only influence is the life of God. The Spirit of Christ in the believer is what gives it taste and what gives it savor and what brings, amen, the very influences of heaven to earth, amen, is when God's people, it's what God intends them to be. Oh, God, help me. I want to be that, don't you? I want to be what God would have me to be.
Well, I preached tonight what I felt the Lord laid on my heart. Make no apologies. Amen. Make no plea. Amen. For you to forgive me, but I've tried to obey God tonight. I trust that we've said something to be a help to you. God wants to challenge us, church. A lot of times we think I'm just poor little old pitiful nobody. But God wants us to know, yes, you are somebody because I dwell in you. You're the children of God. You're here. Oh, the world may not think much about salt. The world may trodden it underfoot and despise our testimony and our godly lives and our godly prayers. I'm telling you, heaven thinks a lot of it. Heaven thinks a lot of it. Amen. I know holiness is not real popular down here on the earth. I'll tell you what, Brother Christie, I'm headed to a place. It's going to be on the pots and the pans. Hallelujah. Going to be on the horses' bridles. Amen. The theme's going to be holiness unto the Lord. Glory to God. And I believe we're going to join in that heavenly multitude and cry with them, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, 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 amen, is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. He reigns forever. Of His kingdom there shall be no end. I'm glad to be a part of the greatest people on the face of the earth. Amen. Oh, that society may call dull and look upon as very drab. I'd rather be right in the middle of it. Thank God. In the midst of our deadest, dullest, driest services. And I'm making no plea for that. Don't misunderstand me. I want to see revival and the moving of the Holy Ghost. I'd rather be gathered with God's chosen few. Amen. Than to be with the devil's multitude any day. Amen. Thank God I'd rather be with God's people in the most severe, amen, tests and trials of their life, amen, and difficult situations than to be gathered with the devil's crowd, amen, enjoying the party of their life, amen, in the height of their merrymaking and their partying and their feasting, amen. Yes, I'd rather be gathered with the people of God, amen, to know this wonderful Savior, to have peace and joy and hope in my soul, that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take away. We're the children of God. Let's hold up our heads. Let's realize we're here. Thank God. Amen. We're the thing that's holding, amen, this society together. It's the influence of Christ. Amen. In God's people. I'll tell you, the mightiest influence upon the face of this earth is not the guns and the tanks and the bombs and the nuclear threat and the nuclear weapons. It's the prayers of a praying people that know how to touch heaven, that know how to ring the prayer bells of heaven. Amen. Yes, sir. It's been sainted mamas and daddies, amen, that's moved the hand of an omnipotent God in the affairs of men and brought revival and brought blessing and brought salvation and brought healing. We're the salt of the earth. I said, we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. Let's stand together tonight. Lynn coming to get us a song. Amen. Oh, would the Lord would help us in this meeting. Work His will. That great preacher, I know I've told you about him here, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but that Brother Winford King, he told me firsthand, he was over there praying for that little boy. He was born deaf and dumb. Praying for that little boy. He preached on the healing virtue of Jesus Christ that night. That little mother brought that little child for prayer. Brother King said, it shocked me. That man of God laid his hand on that little child's head and began to pray. And they said he prayed something like this. He said, Lord, we're not here putting on. We're not here showing out. We're here needing your help. That's the way I feel about it tonight. Amen. I know I've said this, at least in this meeting. You don't work it up. You don't make it happen. I've seen that even in our holiness movement. I'll be honest with you, that turns me off, man. God don't work that way. It's not some kind of high-pressured sales pitch. We're trying to get you to jump a little higher and run a little faster and scream a little louder.
so we can make the fire fall. We can make the wind blow. We can make something happen. No, sir. It don't work that way. I say again, Christ places the emphasis upon what we are, who we are. I want to be what He wants me to be. Amen. I might appear one way to you, but what am I? Amen. When I stand before God, when I stand in the presence of Him with eyes like a flame of fire, He knows the very thoughts and intents of my heart. That's what I need to be concerned about. I want to be what God would have me to be. How about you? It's Him in our lives that makes a difference. Lord, You challenge our hearts. Maybe as a preacher preached one time, he said, I preach myself in the altar. Now who will join me? And that's kind of the way I feel tonight. I preach myself in the altar. Now who will join me? I want to be what the Lord would have me to be. Well, let me just a little bit more. Brother Winford prayed for that little boy and God healed him. Just to make a long story short, He healed that little boy over in Costa Rica back in the early 80s. As a result of that healing, the next night they come. There was hundreds of people on the outside of that church. Brother King said that God sent a revival to Costa Rica. Lasted over 3.5 years. I was over there in 2005. Looked like it was still in revival. Every service, I mean, somebody coming to get saved. Somebody come, one service, 14 people. Amen. Got salvation, according to the pastors, what he told me. 14 people called on the Lord to be saved. Hallelujah. Do it again, God. I believe God wants to send a revival to America. I believe He wants to pour out His Spirit in these last days. Amen. I preach what God's laid on my heart tonight. I want to be what He'd have me to be. Would you? Let's come. Let's obey God tonight. Let's do what He'd have us to do. Help me to be what You'd have me to be.